This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy day, San Diego, and welcome in to Gwynn and Chris on a Wednesday afternoon in America's finest city. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Anaheim with the Padres, and no internet once again. We're in the process of chartering Tony a flight back to Korea so that we can finally hook up with him on the internet.
This whole week in Anaheim has been brutal.
Yeah,
in many
Anaheim,
ways.
We can't get a hold of Tony Gwynn Jr. It's
the
really
Padres
crazy.
Padres can't win. It's just
Anaheim is so close, you could practically yell to us.
We should
but
have
for
strung
whatever reason,
some cans together.
For whatever reason, we cannot get Tony. He'll be joining us hopefully in about 15 minutes when he gets to the ballpark. Matt Scraby is alongside here, and we are getting underway in the Odyssey Palace. AJ Cassavell, Mr. Roller Coaster himself will join the program from MLB.com. I think we're
going
to, make it a whole thing about it, but he was the one who asked the question.
And I get it.
The one where, everybody knows what Mike Schilt said, and there's varying opinions on what was said by Mike Schilt in response to AJ Cassavell last week. So looking forward to having him on the show today. We got a little sports court for you today. Going to don the wig and have some fun, take care of your sports problems, and then the rest of the stuff, the Daily Gambit, Chris versus the fans, the Big Five. It's all coming your way between now and Sam Levitt's 5:30 Padre pregame show.
5:38.
Thank you, Scraby. As I'm sure you're all well aware, the Padres fell to the Angels last night, 4-2, in Anaheim. It was a really nice debut for Adam Major. I mean, that was the thumbs up. You got to get it in. He pitched really, really well.
He did.
And,
he did his job.
Sure he did. He didn't throw enough strikes for me, but I'm going to give the guy, a little latitude. It's his first major league start.
He's a little amped up.
He had four walks, but he was lucky because every time he walked somebody, the next guy hit into a double play. So
it's true.
You can walk people if the next guy's going to hit into a double play. I think, as he goes along, he's going to have to be a little, throw some more strikes. But, overall, yeah, tremendous.
If we're going to be positive, Chris, let me tell you about something that I appreciated about Manny Machado last night.
What'd you appreciate about the...
When Adam Major was kind of, getting a little
In the game.
Early in the
yes.
game, Manny... stopped and said, "Hey, yep. let's calm down," and he got
that's
out of the inning. So I would like to point out
that's what a team leader, does yep. and is supposed to do. And I totally noticed that. Major walked a hitter, got behind the next guy 2-0. Manny came over, had a couple of words, which were probably like, "Hey, we believe in you."
Simple
as that. That's all you need to know. You're out there on a big league mound. You got Manny Machado standing over there. You've got Jake Cronenworth. You've got, Fernando Tatis in the outfield.
Jerks and Profar.
You've got all of these guys, and you're like, wow, here I am. And it's nice when one of them, especially Manny Machado, comes up and says, "Hey, we believe in you."
That probably does go a long
you're
way.
One of our guys. Just go out. Just go pitch. And, I agree with you, Scraby. That was a really nice moment last night. Not so nice moments was, the entire rest of the game. I don't really know what to pick and choose from. The Angels, are really one of the worst teams in baseball. This was their first back-to-back home wins of the season. They've already won the series. It's the first time they've won a series at home this year. You can couple that with the fact that the Rockies have only won one road series this year, and that was here against the Padres. So you can, you know, chalk that up as a big-time negative for the Padres. And, you know, to me, it's just hard to get past, you know, what is happening here against left-handed pitching. I really think I'm going to be just too repetitive to go through all of it again today. You know, we went through this yesterday. We broke it down. And, you know, Patrick Sandoval just added to the Padres' misery. He became the latest future Hall of Fame left-handed pitcher to hold the Padres to one or zero runs. I mean, you know, when that's happened now 13 times in the last 16 starts against lefties. They've had one or zero. And, you know, I don't care who the Padres have pitching, as we've discovered the last 3 days, you can't win. You can't win with that. You know, Major, 6 innings, 1 run. Waldron, the night before, 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 run. 6 1/3, actually. And Michael King on Sunday, 7 innings, 1 run. A.J. Cassavell pointed out, first time ever, Padres got 3 starts of that quality and still lost all 3 games. So it's certainly a frustration. I don't have the answer to it. I don't think any of us do. But, you know, they got to keep battling. And, you know, to me, until they figure out how to score some runs against some left-handed pitching, they're going to be, you know, stuck on this, dare we say, roller coaster. You know, that's it. I mean, they got 3 games over 500. Now they're right back at 500. And Tony is there in Anaheim. And it's good to catch up with you, sir. Last two nights have certainly been a downer. Right, Tony? I mean, I know it was a good thing to see Major pitch well. But the ball club, I know they felt like, you know, these are a couple of games they were going to win, coming off a nice series in Kansas City. You know, good news is there's another game tonight. You can get the finale before you get out of town.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's pretty much all that's left, right?
You're disappointed you didn't get the first two games, winnable games for the Pods. They weren't able to do enough. And so, beat goes on. Another game today. Got a chance to go out and try to salvage the series with a win and head home 500 road trip and see if you can turn your fortunes at home in a different direction.
Yeah, I want to mention to everybody that the last time I think we felt probably similar to how we feel today is, you know, in the middle of May when they lost the 3 games here to the Rockies. Well, just keep in mind that right after that, they went to Atlanta and won 3 out of 4. So, yeah, I mean, this is the strange nature of this team. And when somebody figures out, they'll let us all know, I guess, Tony, right? I mean, it's kind of confounding in a lot of ways, but I'm getting used to it.
I don't think it's confounding at all. I think this team has played 500 baseball all season long. I think the idea is you hope come August, September is the time when they start playing their best baseball. That is the idea. You kind of said it the other day, treading water. I mean, I think they're doing a little bit better than treading water, but yeah, I get the idea. That's right around where they are, right? And
right.
So, you know, I think you look around Major League Baseball, everybody's kind of in the same spots. And so I'm not here sitting here saying that excuses the 2 losses. But for now, the Padres are who they are. They're playing 500 ball. And I think the idea is as you get into the late summer, by then they're playing some of their best baseball and there's some separation between the wins and losses. I think you're seeing some good signs offensively in terms of the big guys. All of a sudden, it seems like Manny and Toddy and Ha-Sung are starting to pick it up offensively. And so, you know, there's no answer. I don't think needed. They lost two games that they could have won. They got 3 consecutive really good starts, 2 from guys that If you would have told them before you were going to get what they gave you, you would have signed up in a heartbeat. And they still lost those games. And so, you know, it feels like a little bit of a waste because you got those really good starts when maybe you weren't expecting a couple of them to go as deep as they did. And you still couldn't get those wins. So I think that part's disappointing for sure. But another game today, Dylan Cease on the mound, chance to salvage this series.
Is there anything in the – and I know I'm going to be sticking with this team till the end because there's nothing else for me to do and there's a lot of games left. But is there anything to a team getting down on themselves because they're losing to bad teams or perceived bad teams, I think Jesse said last night? Like, is there anything to that? Because to me, if I'm losing to bad teams, I'm going to start feeling bad about myself. And I know that's a whole different world in that clubhouse.
Yeah, no, these are pros. I don't think they think of it. There's just, you're having a game every day. So you can't only focus on the previous loss for so long. If you're doing that, it likely is affecting you into the next day. And that's a thing that you need to change. You have to be able to turn the page. Because at this point, you can't go back and play yesterday's game. You can't go back and play the day before or the day before that. And so as a player, you can't afford to sit here and like be in your feelings about losing the last two games. I mean, you had however many hours after Monday, you had ever many hours after Tuesday's game to be in your feelings. But once the next day rolls around, it's in your best interest to stop being in your feelings about it.
I buy into
that's
that.
Sure. You know, that's just, yeah, that's more of, you know, us on the outside looking in.
Well, we're going to worry about it right up until the first pitch
what
tonight.
What did Pete Fairbanks say? He has like 18 minutes left
to be mad about this. 18 minutes. And you know what? We should all live our lives according to what Pete Fairbanks thinks.
We should.
He's a guy that has it all together. You know, the elephant in the room is what they're doing against the left-handed pitching. And again, Tony, I know that when you go into your next start against the lefty, and that is coming up on Sunday against Arizona, they get four righties the next four games. So, you know, there's that. But, I mean, it's got to start creeping into your head, even if you don't want it to, the fact that you're having this kind of tough results against left-handed pitching. I can't imagine nobody anywhere in the organization hasn't thought about this and figured we've got to find a way to change it if we can.
Are you asking me about the players?
Well, players, management, front office, analytical guys. It seems to me this is an organizational thing. Manager, somebody's got to, you know, find something that's going to work because it's not working right now against lefties. I don't think that's really disputable at this point.
No, but I mean, if you got the answer, please shoot it this way. I'll pass it along.
Yeah, Chris.
Because I'm pretty sure they are trying to figure out what it is.
I know.
So, you know, ultimately, you know, I can tell you who's not feeling bad or worried about it. Jerickson Profar is not worried about it. Luis Arraez isn't worried about it because they're actually hitting lefties well.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's I think there's another one I'm missing. Donovan Solano.
Yes.
Those three are the ones that are swinging the bats well. Everybody else is, you know, not good. And so if you only have three guys hitting lefties well and everybody else is struggling, I mean, it's pretty obvious why your team is not having the type of success against lefties. And so what do they do to fix it? I don't know. I've seen these cats out here with the left-handed machine. At the end of the day, this game is about going out and performing on the field. And so what are the if there is a like direct answer to this problem, I'm sure they're looking for it.
Sure.
And if anybody else comes up with it, pass it along. I'll see if I can get it down there.
Would you please? As soon as we come up with it. Let's dispel one thing here, Tony. The play in the, I guess it was the seventh inning, on the ball that was hit to left field. Profar took one step in. But I looked at that play two or three times. I don't think it really mattered if he would have gone straight back and been as fast as Usain Bolt. He was not catching.
He was already playing shallow, trying to cut down the runner.
Yeah,
at third, and that ball was toasted.
Yeah,
I'll go back through this and see how me MPHs it was off the bat. If I recall, it was like 110 plus.
Yeah, there was no way he was getting that ball. I know some people were, you know, oh, Jerickson missed. No, I don't think so. I don't think unless he had been standing on the warning track to begin the play, which, as you just pointed out, would have been ludicrous. He was not catching that ball.
Listen, he was shallow. He was shallow because he wanted to try to have a chance to throw the runner out at home.
Right.
And, you know, a hanging breaking ball was left up.
Yeah.
And it got hit hard. Yeah. And so
who hit listen, that, I mean, by the there's, way? There's,
Neto, I believe.
It was Neto.
104.4.
Yeah.
Okay, 104. He hammered that ball. And
it was 108 by the time it got out to left field, though, Scrape. He was picking up speed.
It was getting faster as it went.
Either way, the ball, 100 plus is top, you know, that's top tier exit velocity. So,
yeah.
Either way, that ball is, that ball was not catchable. Even if, had he been playing deeper, okay, you might be able to convince me that the, and, you know, let me look because I don't necessarily believe he took a full step. But
yeah,
we'll see.
It was,
either way.
Yeah, it was close. But
the pitch wasn't executed. It got hit hard.
I agree. 100%. I'm throwing it out there because some people were wondering, and you are a former big league outfielder. All right. We are underway. Down in the dumps a little, but hey, only 90-some-odd games still to go. So
it can only go up from here?
You know, this season, well, I don't know. I mean, this season keeps going
98?
Up and down. What are they?
No.
32 and 32? Yeah, 98. You got 98 left. So hopefully we'll win about 90 of those, and that'll keep everybody, you know, happy. When we come back, there's been so much discussion about this trade possibility of Garrett Crochet. Is that really, really doable? Let's get into that delve a little further into that. Also, the latest on Joe Musgrove. Actually, some good news concerning No-No Joe. We'll pass that along when we come back. Gwen and Chris underway. Happier with us. Happy Wednesday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
.23 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. before we get into this segment, I stand corrected. It was more than just a false step. He kind of froze.
Jerickson Profar.
And that's not to Jerickson Profar. And that's not to say that he would have ended up making the play, but in terms of, you know, the mistake he made, it was a little bit bigger than a half turn. Like, I thought from my point of view, he kind of took a half turn in with his left foot.
Mm-hmm.
But he really kind of took a half turn and then he kind of like froze. And that ball was hit on the line. And so, ball's hit on the line, you don't have the, especially
luxury.
if it's hit that hard, you don't have the luxury to kind of freeze as long as he did.
Yeah.
Now, again, that's not to say that he would have made that play because he still was playing super shallow. But he didn't necessarily give himself the best opportunity. And that, you know, is why Mike Shildt consistently takes him out of games when they have leads, because he has a better outfielder on the bench, better defender.
Why would the Padres ever take him out? Well, there's your answer. So stop complaining about that.
I do love when real-life examples happen,
that
and
helps.
Then I can wrap my head around
that
it.
That helps. I'll be honest with you. Profar has, there have been two or three plays in the last couple of weeks that has made me think of exactly that, Tony. You know, balls that were really difficult to get to. Yeah, not easy, but just plays that maybe a better fielder would have made. And so, you know, that is certainly, makes some sense right now. But
I didn't ask. I don't know if you guys covered it earlier. Was there any scuttle about Shildt after the game yesterday? Did he irritate anybody?
I don't know. We'll ask AJ Cassavell when he comes on in 10 minutes.
I haven't really heard anything.
Apparently not, because we're not talking about it today.
Yeah, I didn't see any post-game conversation. Usually I catch some quotes in the newspaper, but Kevin Acey's article, the one I read this morning, was filed before there was any post-game quotes in it. So, we'll find out. Mike Shildt is, they've won now 8 of their last 11 series. But I'll be honest with you, I doubt he's going to go to that card, you know, today, right? It's probably not the best timing for it.
It sounded, so I heard a little bit of his sound after the game. He sounded like he was a little irritated that they've had the two starts that they have had in consecutive games. Three starts, really. I mean, and not been able to get a victory, at the back end of their rotation that has pitched
so
phenomenal.
Well. So
here's
well.
A quote.
Yeah, there is a quote here from Shildt that you put down. It says, "Super frustrating. That's what the name of this game is: starting pitching and eating up innings. And those guys have done more than their part to give us a chance." I couldn't argue with that. You know, he's 100% right. I mean, when you get starting pitching, 7 innings, 1 run, 6 and a third, 1 run, 6 innings, 1 run. And in all three cases, you allowed hardly any hits, 4, 2, and 2.
Yeah, you've out-hit the opponent in
everybody.
All three of those.
Yeah, right. And you're not winning these games. It's that is definitely going to be frustrating. And, you know,
I think it's even more frustrating that it came on a young Randy Vasquez who battled his tail off. And then a Waldron who, you know, has had some of his ups now, although he's been on a heater here lately.
Right.
And then you get the start from Adam Mazur last night. Really a terrific start for a guy who, you know, making his debut, and you don't get the victory. So it is frustrating ultimately, but you know, the season moves on. You're going to have to figure out a way.
That's right. They're not going to stop the schedule while you're frustrated. You have to go back and play again. Before we get to the quick trade thing, Scraby, I thought, brought up a good point just before you came on. I don't know if you caught it. But
Scraby, I'm on camera, too, by the way, buddy.
Oh,
I'm in the backstage, apparently.
Gotcha.
Get him in there,
there
for a while.
Get him in there.
People want to see his handsome face.
That's too much face. Thank you.
That was a lot of face.
They don't want to see that much of his handsome face.
I got to say, that was a lot of face.
Yeah. But I don't know if you caught it, Tony, early when Mazur walked the first walk and then he fell behind 2-0 in the next hitter. Quick timeout, Manny came over. Scraby brought this up, but I just couldn't have, you know, that's what a leader does. And it was really, I don't know exactly what he said, but it probably said something like, hey, you know, we believe in you and you're one of our, you know, you're one of our guys. So let's go. And that's all sometimes takes.
What happens to young guys when you get into, like, some tough spots, the game like speeds up on you. So you know,
right.
You know, we like a pitcher that gets it and throws it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that could be to the detriment of the pitcher, because that's what Adam was doing. He was getting on the bump, he was firing, but he was missing. He had thrown like what, 5 or 6 straight balls, and so I think what Manny was trying to come in to, hey man, you're good. Slow down. Get your breath back under you. Get your legs back under you.
Yeah.
And then go to work. And, you know, that worked for him. He settled down, kind of took it, made his pitches that he needed to. I thought he showed some pretty good stuff. Good fastball, good slider. You could tell by some of the swings he was getting at, swing and misses. Showed a curveball off, a little good changeup. Can't command the changeup as well yet, but a lot to like about Adam Major in his first start.
I think so. I mean, the results were certainly good. Maybe, you know, this thing enters into their thinking or not, but this notion about trading for, you know, Garrett Crochet, which a lot of people are, you know, reporting. Kevin Acey from the UT, I don't want to say poured cold water on it, but he cooled down the momentum a little bit by pointing out that according to Chairman Eric Kutsenda and CEO Eric Grubner, this Padre team sources close to these guys saying that they don't want to just give away all of their homegrown talent here. So, you know, this might not be something they can pull off. And we talked about it yesterday, Scraby. They've already traded 8 guys this year, 8 mm-hmm. young guys.
Yep.
You know, 4 to get Cease and 4 to get Arise. I don't know that you can part with 4 more to get Crochet. Especially if you can trust Major and, you know, you feel like you're going to get Musgrove back. And the word on Joe from the doctors was that there's no structural damage, et cetera. He just needs some rest.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a good sign too, Tony. I hope.
Yeah, that's a great sign.
He went to the guy too, Dr. Neil Elitrosh. So.
Oh,
if you Elitrosh go there, that's the final word.
I mean, when you get there, you know you've
Elitrosh
made it
is the
as
poop.
An athlete. He's the Pope, did you just say?
No, the poop. He's the poop.
Oh, he's the poop. Yes, yes, he is. Yeah. Everybody goes
I believe
Scraby
called him for his own shoulder surgery on Monday, but the poop yeah. will not
he
be available.
Get an appointment, huh?
No.
Couldn't get an available
Who was
with the poop.
Guy before? Oh, James Andrews was the other guy.
Yes, you're not going to see the poop on Monday, Scraby. You're going to see the, never mind. You're going to see
I have a good doctor, just in case he's listening. And I have a really good doctor.
No telling what you're going to see on Monday.
First of all, the Joe news is great. I saw Joe, his mom, and his sister this earlier today before I left to come over here.
Right.
He seemed to be in good spirit. So
that's
I'm sure the Elitrosh news made him feel a lot better about the situation.
Yeah.
In terms of as Kevin put him, the Erics.
I do love that. The Erics.
This,
it's like a band.
In the article. Listen, there's some merit to it, obviously, right? You don't want to keep trading all your talent away. But just because they're talent and they are prospects, as we know, does not mean that they come up to the big leagues and fulfill that prospect talent. And so for an organization, that's what you're weighing, is how good do you think your guys can actually be? And you kind of have to kind of, you know, balance that, right? Because ultimately, I think for longevity purposes, you can't – it'll be tough to do it the way the Padres have done it to this point without, you know, an influx of being able to bring in some young talent, right? That's a little bit cheaper. That's under control. Now, what AJ does so well is – typically, when he makes a trade, he usually gets somebody who's under control for, you know, a couple of years. So it may not be as long as you would have for your homegrown, but it gives you a couple years of control without it being too pricey. Now, in those cases, this is still more expensive than it would be if it was a guy coming straight up through your organization, right? Because arbitration, things of that nature. But that is the it's not a dilemma. That is the dance that you're trying to have. Is yeah, you want to hang on to your young guys. How good are your young guys actually, right? Because to give you an example, the trade the Padres made for Luis Arraez was Dylan Head, it was Marcy, and was it Martorello? Right? Those were the three guys that went in that deal.
Yes, Martorello, and I think there was one more. Let me look it up real quick. But those are the major
ones. When you talk to you know, scouts around the league, you know, everybody feels like it was a great deal for the Padres. I mean, Dylan Head is probably the guy with the highest ceiling. He's, you know, 3-4 years away, unless he gets on a heater and, you know, really blossoms.
Wusecko was the last one, but he made it through waivers.
And he's already been put on waivers by
the Marlins. And he made it through, so he's back with the Marlins.
So exactly. So, you know, I think most people have Marcy as like a fourth outfielder. Martorello, a really good hitter, but maybe not a position. So, I mean, that's what you're weighing. You know, what kind of prospects do you have, regardless of what the hype is around them? How good are they? Can they come up to the league and be an impact like a like, you know, your higher prospects do?
I personally, if I was the Padres situation, I'd hold on to what I got, and I would wait for a bat. I just feel the bat's more important. And in order to back up my belief that a bat is more important, I'll go right back to what Mike Schilt said today. It's super frustrating to pitch as well as we are and not be winning games. The point being is that you could acquire Bob Gibson and Sandy Koufax right now. If the Padres don't score runs, the pitching's not going to be enough. I think
that's short-sighted, though.
You do?
I think that's going off of the three games you just saw.
Well, no, I'm going off of I'm going off the last 16 against lefties, Tony. That's what I'm going off of.
But they're not facing a lefty every day.
Understood, but I think you're going to have to beat some at some point.
So you're going to wait for just a right-handed bat, I suppose, and that's what you're going to do, because that's the only thing that helps. You're not getting a left-handed bat, so that kind of shortens your pool of guys you can get.
That's right.
So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Ultimately, see what he does.
This offense has been pretty good outside of left-handers and the last three games.
It can't be beat against right-handed starting pitching, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, the last three games were all against lefties, so that is one of the same.
I mean, teams are just going to start signing Barry Zito off the street so that he can throw against the Padres.
I think it's funny, but it's not true. It's not true. I mean, it's also funny that I'm left-handed, but I don't think the Angels will be calling anytime soon.
You don't know that.
You don't know that.
Could, man.
Andrew's
struggling.
I was crafty.
They're not struggling now, but
yeah, I was crafty. You never can tell. All right, I think we're past the break by a mile.
It's okay. AJ Cassavell will be coming up next. He's also running a couple minutes behind, so it works out
perfect.
Perfect. Let's get to break. Your number one offensive hitting team in the National League, San Diego Padres. When we return, more Gwynn and Chris.
Hey, Gwynn and Chris. Back at you, 2:42 the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Anaheim. Padres and Angels a little later today. Mr. Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace studios. We remind you to join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. We are going to head on out and speak with one of our favorites on the program from MLB.com, Mr. A.J. Cassavell, the new dad, joins us here on Gwynn and Chris.
It's not often that men glow when there's a baby.
Yes, he's still glowing.
Women.
I saw him last week, and I said, what's it been now, like a month? He goes, oh, no, it's like 2-3 months already, but he's still glowing.
Wow.
Still glowing.
Happy daddy.
Hello, A.J.
2 months in a week.
There we go. 9 weeks, exactly. Yes. All right, AJ, thanks for joining us, of course. I'll address the elephant in the room. It's my own opinion, maybe mine alone, but I think others share it. I thought your questions were fair last week. I totally understood where you were coming from. And, you know, it created a little stir, but I don't think you meant to create a stir with those questions, did you?
Certainly not. I mean, I think the question maybe got misconstrued a little bit into his perception of what I was calling a rough patch. I certainly wasn't calling those three games a rough patch. I might call what we're currently witnessing a little bit of a rough patch for the Padres, but I think it was just maybe a question being misconstrued, and I wasn't. There's no provocation there.
Yeah, I just real quick. You don't have to tell us either way. I'm curious, have you and Mike Schilt spoken since then? And you don't have to answer if you don't want to, because it's your own personal business.
Yeah, we've spoken. I mean, I didn't even think it was that big a deal, to be honest.
Yeah, okay.
I thought it was just a question that I asked, and he answered, and he's defensive about his team and is very positive about the outlook of the team, and I was doing my job asking a question. I didn't even think it was a big thing. I had last weekend off, actually, and I don't know. It seemed like it got blown maybe a bit more out of proportion than I think it should have been. Mike Schilt is positive about his team. I think it plays well in a lot of areas. It doesn't necessarily play well in his messaging and post-game press conferences after losses, but that's also not the most important thing for a manager to have to do. If a manager is a little off in his messaging and post-game press conferences, well, I mean, there's a million other things on his plate that are more important than that.
Oh, it's my turn. Sorry.
You're up.
AJ, obviously, last night was disappointing. The Padres couldn't muster up any runs. And, again, it comes against a lefty, which has been a big question mark. But the positive was Adam Major. He came out, really threw the ball well. I mean, I'm sure, I said before you came on, if Mike Schilt had known he would have gotten that, he would have signed up for that immediately. What'd you think of Adam and his start last night?
Yeah, it was really encouraging for a number of different reasons. I think the biggest maybe being that the thing we had heard about him was that he was a strike thrower and that he had kind of pinpoint command, and that was always what got him, what worked well for him in the minors. Obviously, good stuff too. Obviously, a lot of good things to like, but it was the pinpoint command. Well, last night he didn't really have that, and he found himself in some bad counts. He wasn't throwing a lot of strikes early. And for him in his major league debut, without that going his way, to kind of bounce back and grit through it and then put it together and complete six innings of one-run ball, like that bodes pretty well for if he does have that command and if he's not walking those guys for the future. So it's an important question I think the Padres will be answering going forward. Like, what do they do in their starting rotation in the immediate future? Adam Major has got a spot to prove himself, and I think he did himself pretty good last night with that performance.
AJ Cassavell is with us from MLB.com, and AJ, this is a tough one for us. It's a tough, I think, for the media. I mean, we all can see what's happening against the lefties, but I don't want to beat a dead horse. You don't want to beat a dead horse. You probably asked the Padres, Mike Schilt, about this. You asked the players about this, and Tony's right. There's no answer to why they're struggling against lefties. They just are. So, you know, what can they do about it? And I, you know, what do we keep saying, right? I mean, I don't know how many different ways we can pose the question.
I don't know what the fix is necessarily, because they have a lineup that should be pretty good against left-handed pitching and was pretty good against left-handed pitching last season. And this season it just hasn't clicked. And I think for the first time, maybe, I think it was last week, Mike Schilt diagnosed kind of what was plaguing them a little bit. It was the fact that against lefties, they were hitting kind of too many lazy fly balls as opposed to either driving the ball or hitting line drives, one or the other. It had become, I think, some of their righty power hitters that you would expect to perform well in those spots weren't doing what you'd expect. They weren't hitting line drives or hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And that still isn't the case, but I still think this might be one of those anomalies that was something weird that has now morphed into something real, because it's happened so repetitively and the Padres need to kind of find their way out of it. This is not something that you look at and say, well, it makes sense that they're not hitting lefties because of this, this, and this in their lineup. They should be hitting lefties. They should be hitting lefties better. And, I mean, this is a thing that I say a lot. Like, it should even out over time, but we know that is not always the case in baseball. Sometimes things have a way of self-perpetuating going forward.
AJ Cassavell joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And, AJ, you know, two big injuries for the Padres in that rotation. Obviously, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish. I would have said before, you know, recently that Joe's is probably the most concerned, probably still the most concerned, but sounds like they got some good news at least today with the imaging, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of damage, and it's just going to be a rest thing for him.
Yeah, we'll see kind of once he, if it's just a rest thing, when he starts building up, if it recurs, because this is an elbow thing, and if that's not something you want recurring. The Padres, I think at this point, would be probably most optimistic if they could give him a little bit of extra time. Joe is not someone, I think we all know this, Joe is not someone that wants extra time off ever, but the prudent thing here is to get this behind them as fast as possible and hope that the clean imaging is something that they can build on and they can be healthy for the stretch run. Like you said with Yu Darvish, that's just a muscle injury. That's kind of that's one that I think you understand it's a bummer. You don't want it to be happening, but you also understand that it's not going to maybe derail the rotation. You'd expect right. Darvish to be back as a part of that group at some point. I don't know how slow his buildup would be, but you're not too concerned with that going forward, especially the way he was pitching before that injury. Musgrove's a question mark, and you can be as optimistic as you'd like, and I think it sounds like the Padres have reason to be optimistic. That doesn't mean they shouldn't be planning for contingency scenarios where he's not available, because we've seen in the past, we saw it in 2021 with this team, we've seen it a million times across the league. You can never plan to have too much starting pitching, and the minute you think you do, you don't, because something happens. And so the Padres, I think, will be looking in different areas, and one of those areas was last night with Adam Major.
AJ, if AJ Preller is able to make a trade before the deadline, and let's just say they wanted to try to beef up the offense, we were kicking this around a little before he came on. I mean, what would they be able to do? And the reason we ask is because even if somebody became available that was under some control and everyone was paying the salary and they thought it was a bat that could really help, who would they put on the bench? How would they fit this person in? Is that kind of an issue moving forward, you think, for AJ Preller trying to, if he did want to try to strengthen his offense?
Yeah, I don't know if it's an issue so much as it is like just kind of like the way this team is constructed right now and the issues that they've had. Like the fixes, you would think, are already there. They're internal. They're getting some of these guys who have track records of hitting better than what they're hitting this season, getting them going. And so if the Padres wanted to make a trade to bolster their offense, there is probably room on the bench. There's nothing that says like this is a complete offense. They could maybe, I don't know, shake up the catching situation, a backup catcher, something like that. I don't know the specifics of what they would look to do. But the likelier fix for what's going on with the offense is to get Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. going and to get those guys clicking at the top of the lineup with Luis Arraez all together at once, which we haven't seen. And we've seen little glimpses of here and there, and you start to kind of think how good the offense could be. Like, the fixes for this offense, I don't think, are out there on the trade market, which – I mean, they were. The Luis Arraez was a perfect fit for this team, but now that you have Luis Arraez on board, I'm just not looking to the trade market, knowing the concerns you have in the rotation and maybe the need for another arm in the bullpen. You have to, I think, trust that the guys you're paying the big money will come around, and then when Xander Bogaerts gets healthy again, that he'll start hitting, and that the fixes for the offense are there, minus, I don't know, maybe a bench bat. And then you allocate your trade resources to the pitching side of things because, I mean, they don't have as many trade resources as they did at the start of March. They traded for Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez, both of whom were very useful acquisitions. But what that does is it thins out your trade chips, and they only have so many to allocate it for the deadline.
AJ Cassavell, as always, great job. I got one last quick thing for like 30 seconds. If you had to put two or three Padres on the All-Star team, is it as simple as Profar, Suarez, and Arraez? Or where are you thinking?
Those are the three. I still think Jeremiah Estrada could have a case if he keeps striking everyone out. But those are the three off the top of my head. I was looking at some National League outfielders. Like, Fernando Tatis Jr. has not had the season he wants to have. There's not a ton of really strong National League outfielders this season. And so if he could put together a hot couple weeks, which we've seen him do before, I don't think that's out of the question. Rich and Profar, to me, he's the most deserving, and that would be such a cool story for his first All-Star appearance to come in Texas, where he started his career as a top prospect. I think that'd be really cool to see. But right now, yeah, Profar, Arias, and Robert Suarez would be my All-Star.
You're our All-Star, AJ.
Aww.
We appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for everything. Continued happiness as a papa, and we'll see you out at the ballpark. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There he goes. AJ Cassavell, Quinn and Chris, hour down. Coming up ahead, little daily gambit. Find out what else is going on in sports on this Wednesday with Quinn and Chris. Hey, Quinn and Chris, back at you. 2:42 the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Anaheim. Padres and Angels a little later today. Mr. Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace studios. We remind you to join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. We are going to head on out and speak with one of our favorites on the program from MLB.com, Mr. AJ Cassavell, the new dad, joins us here on Gwynn and Chris.
It's not often that men glow when there's a baby.
Yes, he's still
glowing. The women.
I saw him last week, and I said, what's it been now, like a month? He goes, oh, no, it's like 2-3 months already, but he's still glowing.
Wow.
Still glowing.
Happy daddy.
Is. Hello, AJ.
2 months in a week.
There we go. 9 weeks, exactly. Yes. All right, AJ, thanks for joining us, of course. I'll address the elephant in the room. It's my own opinion, maybe mine alone, but I think others share it. I thought your questions were fair last week. I totally understood where you were coming from. And, you know, it created a little stir, but I don't think you meant to create a stir with those questions, did you?
Certainly not. I mean, I think the question maybe got misconstrued a little bit into his perception of what I was calling a rough patch. I certainly wasn't calling those three games a rough patch. I might call what we're currently witnessing a little bit of a rough patch for the Padres, but I think it was just maybe a question being misconstrued, and I wasn't there's no provocation there.
Yeah, I just real quick, you don't have to tell us either way. I'm curious, have you and Mike Schilt spoken since then? And you don't have to answer if you don't want to, because it's your own personal business.
Yeah, we've spoken. I mean, I didn't even think it was that big a deal, to be honest.
Yeah, okay.
I thought it was just a question that I asked, and he answered, and he's defensive about his team and is very positive about the outlook of the team, and I was doing my job asking a question. I didn't even think it was a big thing. I had last weekend off, actually, and I don't know. It seemed like it got blown maybe a bit more out of proportion than I think it should have been. Mike Schilt is positive about his team. I think it plays well in a lot of areas. It doesn't necessarily play well in his messaging and post-game press conferences after losses, but that's also not the most important thing for a manager to have to do. If a manager is a little off in his messaging and post-game press conferences, well, I mean, there's a million other things on his plate that are more important than that.
Oh, it's my turn. Sorry. I was sorry.
You're up.
AJ, obviously, last night was disappointing. The Padres couldn't muster up any runs. And, again, it comes against a lefty, which has been a big question mark. But the positive was Adam Major. He came out, really threw the ball well. I mean, I'm sure, I said before you came on, if Mike Schilt had known he would have gotten that, he would have signed up for that immediately. What'd you think of Adam and his start last night?
Yeah, it was really encouraging for a number of different reasons. I think the biggest maybe being that the thing we had heard about him was that he was a strike thrower and that he had kind of pinpoint command, and that was always what got him, what worked well for him in the minors. Obviously, good stuff too. Obviously, a lot of good things to like, but it was the pinpoint command. Well, last night he didn't really have that, and he found himself in some bad counts. He wasn't throwing a lot of strikes early. And for him in his major league debut, without that going his way, to kind of bounce back and grit through it and then put it together and complete six innings of one-run ball, like that bodes pretty well for if he does have that command and if he's not walking those guys for the future. And so it's an important question I think the Padres will be answering going forward. Like, what do they do in their starting rotation in the immediate future? Adam Major's got a spot to prove himself, and I think he did himself pretty good last night with that performance.
AJ Cassavell is with us from MLB.com. And AJ, this is a tough one for us. It's a tough, I think for the media, I mean, we all can see what's happening against the lefties, but I don't want to beat a dead horse. You don't want to beat a dead horse. You probably asked the Padres, Mike Shildt, about this. You asked the players about this, and Tony's right. There's no answer to why they're struggling against lefties. They just are. So, you know, what can they do about it? And I, you know, what do we keep saying, right? I mean, I don't know how many different ways we can pose the question.
I don't know what the fix is necessarily, because they have a lineup that should be pretty good against left-handed pitching and was pretty good against left-handed pitching last season. And this season it just hasn't clicked. And I think for the first time, maybe, I think it was last week, Mike Shildt diagnosed kind of what was plaguing them a little bit. It was the fact that against lefties, they were hitting kind of too many lazy fly balls as opposed to either driving the ball or hitting line drives, one or the other. It had become, I think, some of their righty power hitters that you would expect to perform well in those spots weren't doing what you'd expect. They weren't hitting line drives or hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And that still isn't the case, but I still think this might be one of those anomalies that was something weird that has now morphed into something real, because it's happened so repetitively and the Padres need to kind of find their way out of it. This is not something that you look at and say, well, it makes sense that they're not hitting lefties because of this, this, and this in their lineup. They should be hitting lefties. They should be hitting lefties better. And, I mean, this is a thing that I say a lot. Like, it should even out over time, but we know that is not always the case in baseball. Sometimes things have a way of self-perpetuating going forward.
AJ Cassavell joins us here on Gwynn and Chris. And, AJ, you know, two big injuries for the Padres in that rotation. Obviously, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish. I would have said before, you know, recently that Joe's is probably the most concerning, probably still the most concerning, but sounds like they got some good news at least today with the imaging. It doesn't sound like there's a lot of damage, and it's just going to be a rest thing for him.
Yeah, we'll see kind of once he... If it's just a rest thing when he starts building up, if it recurs, because this is an elbow thing, and if I mean that's not something you want recurring. The Padres, I think, at this point would be probably most optimistic if they could give him a little bit of extra time. Joe is not someone, I think we all know this, Joe is not someone that wants extra time off ever, but this prudent thing here is to get this behind them as fast as possible and hope that the clean imaging is something that they can build on and they can be healthy for the stretch run. Like you said with Yu Darvish, that's just a muscle injury. That's kind of that's one that I think you understand it's a bummer. You don't want it to be happening, but you also understand that it's not going to maybe derail the rotation. You'd expect Darvish to be back as a part of that group at some point. I don't know how slow his buildup would be, but you're not too concerned with that going forward, especially the way he was pitching before that injury. Musgrove's the question mark, and you can be as optimistic as you'd like, and I think it sounds like the Padres have reason to be optimistic. That doesn't mean they shouldn't be planning for contingency scenarios where he's not available, because we've seen in the past, we saw it in 2021 with this team, we've seen it a million times across the league. You can never plan to have too much starting pitching, and the minute you think you do, you don't, because something happens. And so the Padres, I think, we'll be looking in different areas, and one of those areas was last night with Adam Major.
AJ, if AJ Preller, rather, is able to make a trade before the deadline, and let's just say they wanted to try to, you know, beef up the offense. We were kicking this around a little before he came on. I mean, what would they be able to do? And the reason we ask is because, even if they, let's say somebody became available that was, you know, under some control and everyone was paying the salary and they thought it was a bat that could really help, who would they put on the bench? You know, how would they fit this person in? Is that kind of an issue moving forward, you think, for AJ Preller trying to, you know, if he did want to try to strengthen his offense?
Yeah, I don't know if it's an issue so much as it is like just kind of like the way this team is constructed right now and the issues that they've had. Like, the fixes, you would think, are already there. They're internal. They're getting some of these guys who have track records of hitting better than what they're hitting this season, getting them going. And so if the Padres wanted to make a trade to bolster their offense, there is probably room on the bench. There's nothing that says like this is a complete offense. They could maybe, I don't know, shake up the catching situation, a backup catcher, something like that. I don't know the specifics of what they would look to do. But the likelier fix for what's going on with the offense is to get Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. going and to get those guys looking at the top of the lineup with Luis Arraez all together at once, which we haven't seen, and we've seen little glimpses of here and there, and you start to kind of think how good the offense could be. Like, the fixes for this offense, I don't think, are out there on the trade market, which, I mean, they were. The Luis Arraez was a perfect fit for this team, but now that you have Luis Arraez on board, I'm just not looking to the trade market, knowing the concerns you have in the rotation and maybe the need for another arm in the bullpen. You have to, I think, trust that the guys you're paying the big money will come around, and then when Xander Bogaerts gets healthy again, that he'll start hitting, and that the fixes for the offense are there, minus, I don't know, maybe a bench bat, and then you allocate your trade resources to the pitching side of things, because, I mean, they don't have as many trade resources as they did at the start of March. They traded for Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez, both of whom were very useful acquisitions. But what that does is it thins out your trade chips, and they only have so many to allocate it for the deadline.
AJ Cassavell, as always, great job. I got one last quick thing for like 30 seconds. If you had to put two or three Padres on the All-Star team, is it as simple as Profar, Suarez, and Arraez? Or where are you thinking?
Those are the three. I still think Jeremiah Estrada could have a case if he keeps striking everyone out. But those are the three off the top of my head. I was looking at some National League outfielders. Like, Fernando Tatis Jr. has not had the season he wants to have. There's not a ton of really strong National League outfielders this season. And so if he could put together a hot couple weeks, which we've seen him do before, I don't think that's out of the question. Christian Profar, to me, he's the most deserving, and that would be such a cool story for his first All-Star appearance to come in Texas, where he started his career as a top prospect. I think that'd be really cool to see. But right now, yeah, Profar, Arraez, and Robert Suarez would be my All-Star.
You're our All-Star, AJ. Aww. We appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for everything. Continued happiness as a papa, and we'll see you out at the ballpark. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There he goes. AJ Cassavell, Gwynn and Chris, hour down. Coming up ahead, little daily gambit. Find out what else is going on in sports on this Wednesday with Gwynn and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.